Hey guys, welcome to the Provokers Podcast, where we talk about things you probably should too. Today I'm joined by...
I'm Jeevan Steven.
And I'm Ethan, otherwise known as FlabsXE Gaming on YouTube and Twitch.
And I am NoahDog54, or just Noah for this episode. Your interesting host this time around, I guess.
Ah, so you're not handsome yet, you're just interesting.
You're just interesting, okay.
Yeah, no, John's bald. I'm the one that's interesting.
I don't see how that's relevant to you being the host, but okay.
No, John's bald. Okay.
I mean, you are. Scientifically, you are, but I just didn't see how it correlated.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, it just seems off topic.
Well, it's a little off topic, but still there's a bald tax, so don't talk about it too much.
I appreciate that.
The bald tax has returned?
It does have a return at some point, just not this episode.
You just gonna see a little thing on the corner of your screen that says, John will remember that.
John will remember that. Yeah, no, I joked in that, what episode was that? That was the last one Noah hosted, I think, where, like, the last one you hosted, I'll be honest, the numbers didn't make sense in terms of who got what points. Like, I don't care that John won, I care that the numbers were so weird. So I had said in that episode, Ethan will remember that.
Yeah. Well, that's usually how that goes. Either way, it's been a week. You guys got any small talk?
Well, it's been 2 weeks, I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's been about 2 weeks.
Yeah,
we
pre-recorded the last one. Johnny, you want to go first?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on other than I was still in the process of moving again. And I don't even have a dresser anymore. It's gone. Well, it's gone. It's... in the other room, but it's gone.
Buddy, I've been living without a dresser for like a year.
Well, that just seems like you problem, really.
No, it's called I'm broke.
I mean, yeah, but like, that's still a you problem.
Yeah, good point. You're safe.
Anyway, so like, my dresser's not even in my room, my desk isn't even in my room. Basically, all that's in my room right now is my bed. And my bags that have clothes in them.
Yeah, as for me, just been trying to think. I mean, the reason we had to pre-record is because I wasn't there last Sunday. And the reason was because I was spending time with family, actually. I was, we had went down Saturday for like a wedding type thing. And then because I was staying in my hometown, because we were like close to my hometown, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to spend some time with my family that's down there, because I still have family that's in that area. And so I'd stayed there for, so we got there Saturday. I spent the night Saturday, and then we went to Sunday, and then a Monday, Tuesday, and I went home Wednesday afternoon / evening. So it was about 5 days or so, a little less, I guess, if you count the, because I can't count Saturday. But about 4 or so days of getting to spend time with them again, and I guess I'm going to be... We're making plans to go to the beach again, aka the Outer Banks, this coming September. So, well, it's the end of September, but it's around my birthday, actually, which is kind of nice. So we're making plans to go do that again. People that know me, and I think I mentioned this, we had an entire episode dedicated to when I got back from my last one. So you all probably know that I've visited the Outer Banks a good amount of time so far. So we're making plans to go there again, because, again, in 50 years, that might not be there, because of how the sea's rising and stuff, so... it's nice to get to go there, and they have like excellent food down there. You get to walk on the beach. I love walking on the beach. They have hot tubs, of course. Gotta get in the hot tub. They have pool tables. This is all just like really exciting stuff. And the house we'd be going into is a house we've been in before, and it's a really nice house. Like, there's like, if you've been to the Outer Banks, you know some of the houses are really pretty. So that's one of the ones we're going to be in. But other than that, not much. Did some cool stuff today, as you guys know. I'm a cameraman now. I said that before. Yeah, not much else.
Very cool. With that, buddy, you got any headlines for us?
Unfortunately, you know, the I try to find like good stuff, but the problem is the media doesn't like to report good stuff because no one likes good stuff. But, I mean, there's some, like, I can't really say this one too much because it's a local thing to me. But there is a business that, supports, it's a business that, like, is, it's a standalone business, but it's connected to other businesses in such that they donate some of their goods to the other places. So what I mean by that is, like, the business I'm talking about right now is a restaurant. The restaurant, if they have, like, if they over-ordered or if they have extra supplies they need, they will hand it out to other small businesses around the area, which I think is really awesome because, first of all, I love supporting local businesses because they're the foundation of this country, really. And it's like, because when you're in the restaurants are hard because you're competing against fast food, which is a massive, colossal giant, like McDonald's, Wendy's, as much as I love Wendy's, Burger King, basically the swamp area of fast food. But even then, they're still pretty big. And so I love supporting small businesses. And the one that's near me, what they do, like I said, is what they do. That's they take I think leftovers is the bad word for that. But, like, you know what I mean? They take a lot of their stock that they don't need, and they give it out to other restaurants instead of just throwing it away. Because a lot of restaurants just throw extra stuff away. Like, you go in a dumpster out back behind a restaurant, there's, like, cups there that's perfectly fine. There's, like, burgers that technically are expired, but they were frozen, so they wouldn't have been that bad anyway. Like, instead of throwing that stuff away like a lot of other places do, they donate it, which I think is really cool. So there's that. So yeah, that's like I said, it might seem minuscule, and I can't tell you the name of the business because it's kind of close to me. But it's the one, like, there's a lot of bad news, and I didn't want to say any of that stuff. So that's the one good news thing I found. So
nice. That's always a great thing to hear about.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot of places that do that. So it's always great to hear about one of those places that does actually do that.
Yeah.
Alright, with that, you got one for the creator showcase?
I do. Their name is Animation Hustle. And so I'm not really into animation anything, but it's interesting to learn about because people that can animate have not only a gift in patience, but they also have a gift in, like, drawing, usually, especially when it comes to storyboards. So, and I can't do either. I mean, in my patience, it only runs dry in certain situations, but I cannot draw for the life of me. So I really, like, admire people that are able to have both, like, patience, because animating takes so long, especially depending on the animation you're doing. So to see people being able to do that kind of stuff. So the Animation Hustle, what they do is they do behind-the-scenes stuff, and that's why I mentioned them. So they go behind the scenes of how they make storyboards, how they make certain animations, like stop-motion animation, which I think stop-motion is really cool. And so if you want any sort of behind the scenes stuff on animation, if you're interested in that kind of thing, Animation Hustle, all one word, is their channel. They're not overly small, but again, none of the people are that I've said. But it's just really cool. Cause I think, like I said, if you're someone like me, that's not particularly interested in animation, but you're still interested in learning about it, then they're really cool. And they tell it to you in a way that you'll understand, even if you haven't done animation or storyboards in the past. Because I've dabbled in storyboards for, like, my ARG and stuff, but even then, I still don't know how to animate. So it's still interesting to learn about that kind of stuff. So either if you like animation a lot, or if you like me and you don't, but you're still interested in learning about it, then that's the channel for you. Animation Hustle, you can find them on YouTube and maybe something else, but YouTube is where I found them.
Nice. That is actually pretty cool. I've always actually had an interest in animating, but never really knew how to do it, so I might actually go look these guys up.
Yep, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. Animation is definitely cool. Like, I've done a little bit, like, very basic stuff, not anything that cool. Like, you see animation YouTubers or, like, any sort of animated film, but, like, I've done some basic stuff in that. Like, what you're saying, it's always cool to see people just, like, continuing to persevere with that sort of thing.
Yeah. Also, one last thing I forgot to mention in the small talk here. Someone had asked, it's fine if you didn't see it, because we only mentioned it once. Someone asked why John sounds really different. It's because he's on his phone now. He's currently in the... He just got back... Well, I shouldn't say just. He got back recently from his training, and so he doesn't have his computer set up right now. So that's why he sounds different. He still sounds crisp to me. And I listened to the other ones, and he sounds fine. But he sounds different. You can tell it's a different microphone. But that's why, like I said, it's fine if you didn't watch that. I don't even remember what episode we mentioned that in. But it's fine. So I just wanted to let that person know that that's why. And anyone else I didn't know, I guess, that's why John sounds a little different.
As well as it's kind of like, not only is it a different microphone, but it's going through Discord. another little behind the scenes thing is normally I would be the one recording, so it'd be like going straight to the computer, right? But you're recording this one.
Yes.
So it goes through Discord and then you record the Discord thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would affect it much, but it would probably affect it a little bit.
Yeah, and if you want more behind the scenes stuff, Patreon is the best place to get that stuff. We upload a pre segment like before we start recording every week. So if you want like some behind the scenes stuff, that's the place to get it. Every tier has some certain behind the scenes stuff. The more you pay, the more stuff you get, and you actually even get access to the Patreon or to the podcast at some point. So like we'll plug this at the end, but I just want to let you guys know. I'll try to start letting you know more frequently. That if you want behind the scenes stuff, because I love behind the scenes stuff. Like we have our own Patreon, but I'm a patron of other people's Patreon because I love seeing behind the scenes stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. All right, and with that, I believe we can segue into this episode, which is going to be a very interesting one. So, John and Ethan, you didn't ask for this, but it's happened. I have somehow, some way, been born into your guys' life as a baby. And you two are going to parent your way through different scenarios. Are you ready?
I hate this fanfic.
Thank you, sir.
This is like the depths of Reddit, like fan fiction that's going on right here.
Yeah, it's gonna be some weird shit, but I think it's gonna be interesting.
I guess I'm ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah,
you don't sound too enthusiastic about this at all, John.
Oh no, it's gonna be great.
There's the enthusiasm that we need.
Got him.
All right, with that. Alright, so first scenario here, obviously. I'm born into the world. I'm a little baby.
Yeah.
You both pick me up. What's the first thing you say to the child that you pick up?
Oh God, it's ugly. It's just hideous. I can't deal with it. No, oh God, we need, you know, there's a baby next door. We could, they'll never know, right? No, I don't know. It's like, here's the thing, right? Because, like, here's the problem. If we're saying that you're the baby, right? It's baby Noah. And I don't know what baby Noah looks like. I'm assuming it looks like sort of any other baby. But the way I would handle it in a real life, where it's like I have a wife that birthed the baby, like, the baby's going to have some of her qualities. So, of course, I'm going to think it's beautiful, right? So I guess something along the lines of like the first thing you say to a baby is hi or something. Like you just say hi, because you're greeting it into the world. So it's something just simple like that, for me.
All right, John.
Yeah, I imagine it wouldn't be much different. It's a baby. Like it's also a newborn, so like, it's probably this first greeting is gonna make a lasting impression. So it's kind of just pretty basic greeting, like, oh yeah, hello child that's apparently mine.
Plus the wife, the mother gets the first greeting because she's in the room. It depends on the situation, because I think the father can be in the room to support her, but oftentimes the dad will be out, like just outside the room waiting for it to happen.
Right.
And I can't tell what I would do. I like if she wants my support, I'll be, of course, be there, but. I guess I could just, because what hospitals have, they have those like things on the ceiling. It's like a sliding curtain. I could always just pull that and I'll still be in the room. Like, you know what I mean? So like, I don't know how I'd handle that. It just depends on what she would want at that point. So
yeah, I feel like in most cases, the person giving birth should be the one called the shots, because they're doing the hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. All right. Alright, so we're gonna fast forward and say you put the baby down, you're both about to go to sleep, but the baby starts crying again. You've already fed it, you've already changed it, you've already done the normal routine. What do you do to get the baby to go to sleep so you can go to sleep?
You give it a pacifier. Game over. Game over, baby. I found your greatest weakness.
You already tried the usual stuff, so that includes pacifier changing and all that.
Unless they spit it out, pacifiers work 100% of the time. Because they're crying about something. And they don't just cry because they can. It's always they're crying about something. So if you've done literally everything else, then that all that's left is that they're missing their pacifier. Because it's something to suck on or something. And another thing that by feeding, you didn't... Like feeding could mean a number of different things, but oftentimes as well, the mother needs to supply her special goods to the baby. What's so funny, John? Special goods.
What? I don't think I would have.
Okay,
way.
Fine, John. Boob milk. How about that? You like that phrasing better? Either way. Babies need that sometimes too. So it's a thing where I can do my best to give it a pacifier and to stop crying, but at the end of the day, it might want the mother's milk. So at that point, there's nothing I can do about that because I don't have that ability. So
you tell me you don't have tits.
No, John. No.
Wow. I can't believe.
Are you? Do you have booby milk, John? Is that what you're saying?
Of course.
Ah, okay, I see. Makes total sense. I have no further questions.
Yes.
Alright.
I feel like this is not going the way Noah thought it would go.
No, this is actually going how I thought it would go.
I was gonna say, he thought of the topic. It's his own fault if it didn't go the way he wanted it.
Shit. But, I don't know, it's a baby. It's crying. Stick the pacifier in its mouth and it spits it out, then, get some noise cancellation earbuds and just go to sleep.
Ignore the child.
It's fine. It's only 8.
Oh, I need to fix this real quick.
I feel like it might be some points being skewed in not my favor.
No points are arranged as they need to be.
That's concerning.
Oh my god. Alright. Okay, so it's the next morning. John's ignored the baby. Done the right thing. Alright. So, you go to feed said baby in the morning. And it keeps, knocking its food off and spitting it out at you. What do you do?
You shove it down their throats! No, I'm just kidding. No. Here's the thing, right? Again, they're spitting it out for a reason. They don't like it. So, the way babies work is you need to find, because hashtag not sponsored, but Gerber, right? They have many different flavors or varieties. So, throughout your journey with this baby, you need to be trying different things. So if they spit it out immediately, they hate it. Don't buy that ever again. If they suck on or chew on whatever it is for a little bit and then they spit it out, that means it's in the middle. And then if you finally find something they do eat, keep buying that repeatedly until they don't like that anymore. So I would realize that they didn't like what I just gave them. Let's say we were smart about it, because I'd be smart about it in real life. I would have bought multiple different flavors. I'd give them a different flavor, see if they'd like that one. Let's say they didn't like that one either. I'd give them more. So I give them a different flavor until I find one that they will eat. And then boom, problem solved.
Okay, so your idea is to go in debt. Gotcha.
That is not what I said.
Sound like I always said, feed the baby money. That's
what? Basically.
Bribe the baby into eating.
I don't think babies know what money is.
Listen.
John, is this your idea of how to get the baby to eat?
John, your idea should just be to feed it your booby milk. Kind of like, there's really no other choice you have.
That I definitely have.
Yeah, right.
That's right, yeah. Because, it's some of these situations, you just gotta go to the source.
I'm questioning what the source is.
You don't need to know.
You don't need to know. It's like that intricate episode. I forget which one it was at this point, but it's like where like the milkman. That's the one I got. The milkman is like, you don't, where's the milk come from, honey? You don't want to know. You know, it was like the most serious thing ever. It's like, oh,
yeah. Oh, all right. We're going to go forward about another month and a half. It's the same situation as before. Baby wanted to go to sleep. You've already fed it, burped it, but you haven't changed it. How would you go about changing a baby?
Changing the baby or changing the diaper of the baby? Because changing the baby is really simple. All you got to do, really, is you got to trip in the hallway with said baby, and then you conveniently knock into someone else carrying a different baby. You catch both babies like the Batman that you are, and then you secretly swap them and then give them the other baby, and no one's any the wiser.
Jesus.
It's a genius plan. I don't know why people don't do it more often.
The classic, bump into swap in the baby. You
know? The classic bump and switch. Yes.
Switch. Okay.
Oh, okay. If your question is about changing the diaper, you change the diaper. I don't know. I don't fully understand your question because changing the diaper.
Are you asking? Do we know how to change a diaper?
Yes.
Briefly, but I mean, it's not that hard. So.
Yeah, it's a diaper. So.
The hardest part is dealing with the smell. That's the hardest part.
Okay, how would you deal with the smell?
Especially, it's like, this is a multiple-month-old baby, right? So, like, you definitely changed diapers before this point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, at this point, we're kind of diaper veterans, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
We'd be pros at this point.
Yeah, so how do you deal with the smell like that from a baby?
You put a clothespin on your nose.
Or you just deal with it.
Or you can just deal with it, yeah. I'd probably put, I mean, like... For me, I can't tell if I would be able to deal with it. I probably would be able to, but if I was really that concerned, then I could. If you put a clothespin on your nose, you can't smell anything after that while it's on, because like it closes off your nasal passages. So as long as you don't breathe it in, then, because that's disgusting. But just don't breathe it for 20 seconds.
Yeah, just like don't breathe ever, and then you never have to smell.
Yeah, just pretend you're underwater.
Exactly. See, now you're getting it.
Yes, totally.
But no, like I remember when my little sister was an infant, and I learned how to deal with the smell of a poopy diaper, because I'm fairly certain she had one hidden in her room somewhere that no one ever found, because it smelled terrible.
Oh, why would you hide that?
I don't know.
Your sister slaps you for, like, telling her most embarrassing story to the entire internet?
Listen, every child did something embarrassing because they were infants, didn't know better.
Well, I'm Batman, so I didn't make any mistakes.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Right, good point. Okay. Alright. We're gonna go to... Okay, the baby's... grown up now. It's about 5 years old.
So it's not a baby.
It's okay, just a child at this point.
Okay, let me go back a little. The baby is about 2 years old and is going to preschool for the first time.
I don't think they start that
at
early.
Two?
I think what? You were more correct with where you were going. I think it's 4 or 5 when they start preschool.
Okay, yeah, let's go back forward again. Alright, the baby's now about 4 years old going to preschool for the first time. How would you take a baby to preschool for the first time?
Well, this is a really easy answer, because you give them a taser, and then they can tase people! What'd you bring to show and tell, Jimmy? Oh, I have my dad's taser. Shoves it in someone's face. No, so like, okay. Preschool is, here's the thing, right? If I'm working a job, preschool starts at, like, 8 or 9 or something. So, like, let's say I'm even there to do something with them. I think one of the best strategies is to sort of role play with them before it happens, because then they know what to expect with it when they actually get to the school. And you definitely need to like softly introduce them to the teachers, softly introduce them to the students, and then once that's done, you're really pretty solid, because preschoolers make friends very easily. So like children make friends very easily. So you just could do that. You definitely need to slowly introduce them into that kind of stuff. You can't just shove them into preschool one day and be like, here you go, Jimmy, have fun. What I would do is I would show them that there's a playground that they get to go to later. Like, you got to make it fun for them. You got to make it worth their time. So I'd be like, hey, you get to go in that swing set later. Your teacher's going to do this. They're going to have a party here, whatever. You got to tell them all the good stuff that they're going to be doing. Because for me, preschool is awesome. I got to go on the swings. We had PB&Js every, it wasn't every day. It was like PB&J Monday, Tuesday, and then we had like ham, cheese sandwiches. Like, it was great. So you got to tell them what's so great about it. And then, like I said, right. Easily lean them into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then if all else fails, taser.
Yes, taser. So, yeah. Well, I mean, this is what I would do, right? All right, Jimmy. This is what you gotta do. You gotta find the biggest guy in the schoolyard, right? And just punch him, beat him up. And then that way, none of the kids will have to mess with you. Because you're the guy who beat up Tommy, he's a big guy.
Okay, I've definitely fixed the points now.
I don't know, I feel like that's good advice. That's what. That's what I hear everyone say to it. The child, when they're sent off to the preschool.
I feel like John's just raising the supervillain that was his alter ego in the last episode. I think that's what he's raising at this point. Ignoring him, like, giving telling him to punch people in preschool. I think you're just making your alter ego, man.
Yeah, I think so.
Listen, I can't say what is happening with this child when it goes on. You know, it's out of my control, really.
Sure.
Okay.
So I just gotta prepare it to be ready for these situations.
I'm very curious to how you're gonna handle the next situation together.
It'll be fine.
Interesting. Okay, so we're gonna move forward a year. Kid's now 5 years old. You go to take him for... What's after preschool for...
Kindergarten?
Kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta take them to kindergarten. But during the summer, they're diagnosed with ADHD. What do you do?
I still think taser's a pretty good option here. I mean, you know...
Yeah, that's obvious.
No.
Okay, ADHD... I've never... I mean... There's different forms of ADHD. Are we talking really light ADHD, or are we talking heavy ADHD?
Let's go with kind of heavy ADHD, but mostly light.
Okay. Because like I've never been tested, but I've done a informal ADHD test, and I've gotten different results. Some say I don't have it. Some say I have like the bare minimum of it. But. When it comes to that stuff, I guess the best person to handle that would be the wife, personally, to me, because she probably has more experience with that kind of stuff. Because when it comes to that stuff, it's like the doctor will probably tell you some best measures to do. So it's not like I'm going to be thrown into the dark with that situation. Because if they're diagnosed with it, that means the doctor diagnosed them with it. I mean, the doctor would tell me, hey, because of this, here's some things you should do, here's some things you should try, and I will trust the doctor's advice and do those things and see if it improves. If it doesn't improve, then we go back to the doctor. I'm being interrupted by the loudest motorcycle I've ever heard in humanity. Either way, like, I'd go to the doctor and say, hey, this hasn't changed. Then they give me more tips, and, like, we just go through it like that, because that's the best thing you can do.
Alright. And, John, I can only imagine what the fuck you've cooked up. Let's go on.
No, I was gonna say a real answer this time, Noah. I have ADHD. Like, it's been confirmed by a doctor and all that stuff. So, it wouldn't come up as a surprise, because ADHD is often, biological, and it definitely is in my case, because all of my siblings have it, and both my parents.
So you had a 100% chance of getting it.
So, like, yeah. I kind of, you know, kind of know what to look out for and what to, like, teach the child that leading up to their first day in kindergarten. Be like, hey, you know, this is things that worked for me. This is things that the doctor said would work, and, like, kind of just prepare the child.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful, because some stuff that they'll tell you is for adults, ADHD. So, like, because right now you're an adult, and some stuff that might work for you as an adult will not work for a child, so.
Right.
Alright. So now we're gonna say they've gone from, they're what, 5 years old now, so they're now 10 years old, and they still have ADHD, but not as much as it was. 10 years old would put them, like, grade. Someone be a 10 years old.
If he's 10 years old, he was 5 when he went into kindergarten.
Yes.
He should be in about 5th grade, 5th grade going into 6th, depending on the time frame.
Yeah, they would be going into 6th.
I said it depended on the time frame.
This is a fixed scenario, so I suppose they're going into 6th.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Alright, so going into 6th grade, still have ADHD, just not, and again, first day, so.
Is that something we're supposed to answer? Because it'd be the exact same
thing. Yeah.
Because also ADHD, you can't get rid of. It's not something that just gone once you get rid of it. You can't get rid of it, because, like, it's a thing you always have. All you can do is minimize the really bad parts of it, and that way you can live your life normally. So if it already went down, I'm assuming they're probably fine. So, like, that my answer would just be, just for 6th grade specifically, I think that's where they introduced lockers, so I'd tell them more about lockers. Other than that, there's really not much difference. So there's not much of a different answer I can give.
Right.
Alright.
I guess, like, other than what we've already said, if they're with the lockers, maybe, like, hey, you just have to stay organized, because if you're not organized, then you lose stuff. And it will just, you know, not be good. So.
Right. Alright, so let's say it's halfway into the school year. New kid comes along, and they start picking on your kid because they have ADHD or whatever. What do you do as a parent?
Well, firstly, I complain to the school board, and if the school board doesn't do anything about it, I teach my son self-defense. And if he defends himself and he gets in trouble, I'm going to say, good job, you defended yourself, you didn't do anything wrong. Because at that point, especially if the bully attacked my son, right, he was well within his right to defend himself. So I don't care what the school says at that point. I would obviously, once it first happened, I would explain to the school, hey, you guys need to get on this crap. You have no bullying sign right over there. Get with the program here. And if they don't do anything, I'm just going to straight up tell my son, if someone attacks you, you are more than welcome to defend yourself. Because that is unacceptable behavior, and that's on the parents of that child to do better as well, which you can't really do anything about. So all you can do is tell the school board what's happening. Tell your social. I'm assuming the kid would have a social worker. Depending on how bad their ADHD is, you tell them especially. And like I said, I would teach my son self defense. That way, once if he does get attacked again, he can defend himself properly.
John, what are you doing that?
So this is I sit my kid down and be like, all right, this kid's bullying you. This is what you gotta do. Yeah, go for the eyes. So I make them disabled. That way they know what it's
you gotta
like.
Make them disabled.
And they'll never pick on someone for a disability ever again because over there, man, this sucks.
You take his kneecap, son. Make him be in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
Okay, so John's going for the eye for an eye tap. Jesus Christ, no. Alright, so the kid's now gone from being 10 to 13, so they're in about 8th grade now. Alright, so they're in 8th grade now, it's officially middle. Was their first day of 8th grade, so it's also their last year of middle school. What advice would you give them for that day?
It's the first day of 8th grade?
Yeah.
There's really no advice to give because it's still middle school. If you had said ninth grade, I'd been like, okay, here's something you need to know about high school. But eighth grade's the exact same. It depends on the school too, because some eighth grades are in the high school. But it's based on where we lived, it wasn't. So eighth grade was still middle school, and there's really no advice to give other than, hey, let me know if you need help with homework, because you're gonna need to, not help with homework, but like, let me know if you need help with math or science, because that's gonna be tested later that year. So other than that, can't say anything new because it's the same middle school stuff they've already been doing.
I think, if I remember correctly, and every school is different, but if I remember correctly, when we were in eighth grade, that's when we first took Spanish, so I guess I...
Not for everybody. I took it in seventh.
Oh, you took it in seventh? Okay, then... Say, for instance, it is their first year, then they already have some tips for Spanish, but if not, they already kind of have started working on the basics, and so, like, what to expect? So, I guess there's not much else I can say about that.
Well, the problem is, like, giving them tips for Spanish is you need to have those tips available. If you don't speak Spanish at all... Like, besides saying, like, C, the other stuff that's super easy to remember, you really can't give them much, other than, like, do your homework and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay, so now, year later, or going into high school, that's where, you know, everything basically sucks. I mean, hell, we basically went through that.
I thought high school was pretty fine, but sure.
Maybe for you it was fine, for me, not so fine.
I mean, I feel like a lot of the bad stuff that happens in high school is based on your own personal decisions, so.
Yeah, your point. Either way, it's your son's first year of high school. This is also the first year of ninth grade, so they'll be getting sex ed for the first time. So, as a parent, do you want them to go to school and learn about sex ed from the school? Or would you rather talk to them about it?
Well, first of all, technically that's incorrect because 8th grade taught you at least the beginning stuff. But if you're talking like the hardcore stuff, I guess, then yeah, I suppose. 9th grade, I think 9th grade was when we learned. I mean, I already knew what everything was, so it wasn't news to me. I think the problem, the time we're in now is that I'm sure my son already looked stuff up. I'm sure he already knows certain things. So like, do I even need to have a talk? Cause I was that exact same way. My parents didn't need to tell me anything because I already knew stuff. Because I had heard from either word of mouth or I looked up the biology and stuff. So I was a nerd. So I was interested in that kind of stuff. And so I already kind of knew going into, it wasn't called sex ed. It was just science class basically. Science mixed with health, because in our high school you only had to take health for like one half a year, and it wasn't even, you only really dealt with sex like for a week and then you were on to something else. But when it came to the stuff in my science class, like I already knew most of that stuff that they were teaching anyway, so like I knew how babies were made, I knew what happened afterwards, so like I know that kind of stuff already. So if he doesn't, let's just say he doesn't, I feel like I'd rather teach him that, because the way I went into my ninth grade class was like, I already know what's going on here. I'm going to be better at my homework now because I already know certain stuff. So at that point, if I can do what happened to me, give it to my son, and be like, hey, here's the basics. Here's some stuff you should know going into this. That way you're not super surprised or anything. It wouldn't be like the classic sit down, let's have the birds and the bees chat, right? It would just be like, hey, here's some information for you, because you're going to be learning a lot about, you know, the female body, which is not pleasant in certain areas. So, like, you're going to be learning some stuff about that. So, here's some tips going into that, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I just give him the same information that I knew going into it. That way, he can excel as well as I did.
All right, John, you got a different answer, or... to do basically the same thing.
It's a bit more of the same, where it's just like, you know, here's what to expect going into the class, so you know that it's happening, because I guess they go into the health class, like, okay, I'm going to learn about how to be healthy. Oh, God, no!
Yeah.
So that's what they would expect, and also be like, okay, listen, you're in high school. Like, high schoolers, they have relationships. It's something that's probably going to happen. if you're gonna do something, I would advise you not to, but if you're gonna do something, wear a condom. Don't be stupid. And try to be like, teach them how to actually be safe and not just be like, they're not gonna be a problem. And then there's a problem.
Yeah, alright. Okay, and I think we've got time for a couple.
We're at 40 minutes, so you still got a long ways to go, bud.
Oh, yeah, fuck. Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Anyway, so it's halfway into high school now. They're now able to go to the prom, and they come to you and they tell you that they really want to ask this one girl out, but they don't know how to because they don't know how to tell her how they feel. Advice would you give them?
Okay. Well, the first pit stop should be the mom. You should, I would tell, hey, go ask your mom, because females know, no one knows females more better than females, because men, let's be honest, we have sometimes no clue, right? There's just times where we're like, I don't even know what they're saying, I don't know what they mean, sometimes they're saying one thing, but they mean the other, doesn't make any sense, right? So even as men, we don't fully understand it, right? We're still trying to figure it out. It doesn't always work. So for me, right, like I was always the type of person that I wasn't, and especially in high school, I wasn't interested in dating because I saw dating as a hindrance to a lot of different things. It was a hindrance to your learning because you'd be distracted. It was a hindrance to your mental health, depending on who you dated, right? So to me, it was just a hindrance and I didn't bother with it. Were there pretty girls in our school? Sure. But at the end of the day, I wasn't overly concerned with dating. So if my son was interested in it, I would John said this earlier, and I didn't mention it because, frankly, no offense, John, I thought it was obvious. Obviously, you would tell them to be careful with that kind of stuff. But even more so now, if they had a girlfriend and they wanted to take her to the prom, because you're halfway through high school, so I'm assuming they're around 16, 17. So it's around that time when they're starting to consider that kind of stuff. And I would say, and as the type of person I am, I'd be like, hey, I would advise you just not do that. I would advise you to spend time with her in other ways. And stuff like that. Like, what I would even do, right, is I would bribe him with money and be like, hey, instead of doing what you want to do, which is go do that stuff, after the prom, how about you take her to this? Or how about you take her to the fair or something? I'll give him money to go take her somewhere. Just so he doesn't have to do the thing. As for advice, I'd just say, listen, you need to be upfront and honest. That's number one. And because girls really love honesty, because men sometimes don't. Well, I shouldn't say we're not honest, because we are, but sometimes men hide their stuff too much, they hide their emotions too much, and so it's hard to tell if they're being truthful or not. So you need to be 100% truthful, and you need to just tell her how you feel. And I said, the worst case scenario, you get rejected. Cool, you get to move on, right? And as the type of person I am, I would just tell them, if you do get rejected, it's a sign that you weren't meant to be, and that you're always going to find someone else along your lifetime here. And I would also mention, hey, there's no rush. You take her to prom, then she enjoys it, but just remember that, it might not work out. You have to mention that to him, because if you say that, oh, everything's going to be great, rainbows and sunshines all over, then the second his heart gets slashed in half, it's going to be an even more mental spiral than it would have been if you had just told him that. So you do have to be a bit of a pessimist sometimes. You do have to say, hey, this could happen. You need to be ready for when it does happen. Because you're not going to tell them, oh, well, this will happen, you two are done for. No, just say, no, this could happen if she, because, and I would make sure I raise a son that does not cheat. I think people that cheat are, I don't even know how that's possible, because I would never even think about being like, I'm committing myself to this person at this time, F them, let me go see this person. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I would make sure I raise a son that knows to respect people and to not double-cross them like that. I would just tell him, hey, if you don't like her anymore, just tell her that. Just say, hey, this isn't working out. The classic, it's not you, it's me, or whatever. And then just separate peacefully. Just, go on good terms. You don't want to go on bad terms, because then shit happens after that. So Yeah, my, it's long story short, I would just tell him the stuff he needs to hear. Stuff that, like, a lot of parents kind of sugarcoat nowadays, because I hate people that sugarcoat things. I need to be told what's going on, what I did wrong, and, like, so on and so forth. I don't want to hear, oh, it's, well, you did all this great, and, you know, you kind of messed up here a little bit. No, I want to hear, you sucked! What did you do that for? Like, that's how I work. I would, when it's with a son, right, I wouldn't go that hard. But I would definitely say something like what I said earlier, which is like, hey, just so you know, there could be something later in line where this doesn't work out, and you have to be ready for that. So that's what that's what I would say.
Aaron and Johnny Boy, what would you say?
I'd say this kid, listen. Just go up there and then poke them right in the eye. Right? That way they never forget you.
He just stab him in the eye.
Then they will never forget you. Then you're like, that's all that they can think about, because you're the person who poked them in the eye.
Oh my god.
And yeah, that'll get them on their mind, get you on their mind. That way that alleviates the, like, nervousness, because then you know they know you. Right?
It's
you're not going to have a situation where if you walk up to them, they'll be like, hey, I want to go to the prom. Right, and they're like, who are you? I don't even know you, you know. And then they know, you know, they might have some other things to say to you if you ask them that after both of them die, but at least they'll know you.
Wait, so what you're saying is you poke him in the eye in, like, the beginning of the year, and then later down the line when you want to ask him for prom, they remember you. That's what you're saying?
Exactly.
So it's Stockholm Syndrome. That's what's going on.
Nice,
like,
John.
Oh, you're the person that stabbed me in the eye. Of course I'll go with you. You're not dangerous to be around.
Exactly. You know, I see. You're good.
John's just raising a supervillain over here. Like, that's just like, this is like dangerous supervillain.
Okay, so we're going to move forward. Jesus Christ, I really don't want to after that. It's their last year of high school. It's actually their last day at high school. They're about to graduate the next day. What do you say to them?
I mean, there's, like, trying to figure out what I'd say in the moment is hard, but what I would definitely do is I'd celebrate, because they made it. They didn't drop out like a loser. They completed their classes. Let's say, like, I don't know if they'd be studious or not, but let's say they got in, like, the top 20 of their class. I'd be super excited. I'd be like, hey, you know what? Let's go to dinner tonight. Let's go to a place that you want to go to. We'll get ice cream after. Like, just take them out on a fun day and get them, because it was the last day of high school. Typically, the last day of high school is weeks before the actual graduation. For us, it was anyway. We ended school, like, what was that? June 15th, or even earlier, I think. And then there was a week and a half in between. And then towards the end of June there, we graduated. So, yeah, either way. But I'll definitely take them out to a nice dinner as a family and get them some ice cream after, or if they like ice cream. Get them some sort of dessert afterwards and congratulate them for doing so hard. Because school takes up a lot of your life. So being able to finish it. And like I said, I don't know if he'd be going to college or not. The way I am, I'd probably tell him, hey, if you want to go to college, I'll support you in that decision, but just make sure you're fully interested in doing that, because college is, you know, I'm not going to say it's a scam or anything, but it's definitely, in certain places it can be, because the place I was going to go to wanted $98,000 per semester, and I would have had to go for two semesters. I'm like, that's a scam right there. You're just stealing people's money at that point. So in certain places it can be like that, but I would just definitely take him out to a nice dinner.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, John, what would you do?
I swear.
I mean, it's hard to come up with a supervillain route for this one.
You take him into an orphanage and you bomb it.
It's like, yeah, you know what? Your child, you graduated from high school, and it's time to blow up your first orphanage.
It's time to make people graduate from life.
Yeah, that way you can see what it's like, and you know, if this is a career path, you want to go down.
Career path.
So, and you know you have experience in it.
Alright.
Okay.
That way they're ready for when they blow up their future orphanage. You know, I'm not going to be around there forever to blow up orphanage. So.
It's the carrying of the torch.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I really want to keep going with this? With the way-
Yes.
You got 52 minutes, so I'd only do a couple more.
Alright. Okay, so your son decides to go to college, but before he goes to college, he goes to a party, and his designated driver for the evening goes and gets drunk himself. How do you go about that situation when your son calls you because you told him?
Okay, let me get the story straight. So just say it again, because I was confused on what you said at the beginning.
Okay, so your son has decided to go to college. Before he goes to college, he's going to a big party. He has a designated driver, but the designated driver gets impaired enough that he can't drive. Do you do when your son calls you because you told him to?
Can the son drive?
Is the son impaired?
Yes. Well, that's what the son's there to do at the...
Okay, so it's not like a case where he can just get in the car and drive himself?
No.
Okay, so I go to pick him up and then take him home?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I've said this before, like, if I was in this sort of situation, I'd be like, I want you to call me, because I'd rather you call me and be safe and then get in the car with someone who can't drive and then get injured or worse.
Yeah, we had an episode similar to this. I forgot what it's called, but I remember you saying something like that, because it was like, it wasn't the dating advice one. There was a one where we had done that. Or maybe I forgot what that was. Maybe that was an episode of the SMP. I just remember something like you saying that. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
He said stuff is similar to that at some point. I just don't remember. Either way, good answers. Alright, so your son goes off to college, comes back after 2 years, and has a bunch of student loan debt. How do you congratulate him?
How do you congratulate him for having student loan debt?
No, for having graduated college and having...
I mean, I'd support him for doing college, but here's the thing. My son would never get to that point of having debt because I would teach him how to manage debt and how to invest money and stuff. Plus, if he does have ADHD, he would get some sort of grant. I forgot what it is. It depends on the state, but let's say it's the state we're in now. I think you do get some sort of grant for having... Because it's... it's a disorder, I guess. So they qualify that as a disability. And so they give you a partial credit, something, whatever it is. I don't know. I didn't go to college, so I don't know. Either way, I don't think he would get to a certain point where he'd have debt. But let's say he did. I would tell him, hey, now you gotta work hard to pay it off. I mean, there's really nothing you can say. You gotta work hard to pay it off. I would congratulate him, of course, for graduating college. Again, same scenario with graduating high school. I take him out on a nice dinner thing. We go to, I don't know, it depends on where he likes to go. Like, I take him to a fancy restaurant. I'm gonna take him to, like, McDonald's or something, or, like, Wendy's. But like, I take him to, like, a sit-down restaurant. Again, similar situation from before. Like, if he does like ice cream, we'll go get ice cream or something. Just have, like, spend the day together. And just congratulate him. With the debt itself, like I'm saying, I'd say, hey, you chose this path, now you get to have to deal with it. Like, that's just how it is. So.
Yep. Alright, and John, what would you do?
Well. No. I would. I'd bring them somewhere where they can just, like, let loose and do all the crimes they want. It's like, you're an adult now, you graduated college. Time to go off and do crime. it's up to you now what crimes you want to commit.
It's just an actual supervillain, bro.
Yeah, I. You're making this really easy to score, John.
Listen, if this is okay, yeah. If this is an episode where you score based on how funny the answers are, not actually how to raise a child, I'm very concerned for you when you raise a child. Then,
yeah, I don't plan on doing that ever or anytime, so I wouldn't worry. Unless one of you decides.
I would say just this is the best advice I was ever. So I feel like if you needed advice, you know where I'm at.
You have my number.
Well, all right, that works too, John. Jesus. God.
Well, that's probably where you got to stop.
At yeah, 58 minutes I think so. Before my fucking head explodes from fucking John. Or
I had that explode head.
John, it's like you're raising someone to...
Someone to nothing, apparently, because you cut up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm raising them to disappear from the face of the planet.
Going to the back.
Hold on, can you fucking hear me?
Yeah, we can hear, like, the beginning of your sentence, and then some for some reason you cut off or something.
That is some bullshit. Yeah, that's a problem.
Must be your potato Wi-Fi.
Either that or this phone just really, really sucks.
Probably a mix of both.
Should be both?
Probably. Okay, here we are. Would you guys like to hear the points?
Sure. I would love to. I'm sure I have so many points.
Okay, John, since you're so confident. John, you have negative 1.25 million.
What?
That's a lot of negative points.
There. I thought you said negative like... one. I'm like, okay, that's not terrible. You only lost 1 point. But, okay.
Yeah. Ethan, you got 25 because, well, you actually gave good answers that formed a supervillain.
Yeah, I was going to say, John.
That's some good.
John formed a supervillain.
Had some good answers, but the majority were of it. Raising a supervillain.
John formed the terrorist evil alter ego that was me in the previous episode. By the way, if you haven't listened to it already, go listen to the evil alter ego episode. It's one of the I don't know what it is about season two where it's like the comical ones are really funny this time around, but like because that was hilarious. The story thing we did was hilarious. This one was pretty funny. So like I don't know what it is about season two, but we're doing pretty good in terms of humor. So.
Yeah, and John, they say negative 1.25 million because I'm at 5 quintillion.
Wow, that's a world record, I think.
No, I don't really count, right? Yeah. I don't really count the ones where it's like, yeah, negative 25 bajillion. Like, I don't count those.
Yeah.
I count, anyway, like, natural negative points.
Ethan is the winner here. You got a winner speech, bud?
My winner speech is, there's two types of people in the world. There's the Ethans out there, and then there's the Jeebenses out there. You don't want to be a Jeebens. You don't want to create a supervillain. Quote of the day, don't be a Jeebens. But you don't want to create a, you don't want to create a supervillain, in your child. And obviously, I don't know, I don't have the eight, like, I don't, look, age is one of those demographics we don't actually have access to, so I don't know what type of people are listening to us. I'm assuming it's teenagers and, like, young adults, because that's what we are. So, if you are a young adult, because I do know, like, there's people that I went to school with that are having a child already, so it's pretty insane. So if you're listening to this and you are having children either soon or you already do, don't take any sort of advice that we had just given, whether it was good or bad, because we don't claim to be any sort of good people that give good advice for that kind of stuff, because we do not have children. Do I plan to have children one day? Maybe. We'll see. But at this moment in time, not planning on it. Plus, like I said, the entire point of this episode was that we don't have children, so how would you navigate this type of situation? That's my winner speech.
Yep. John, you got a loser speech?
I feel like this was stolen from me. You know, I my advice was perfect and should be followed.
No.
Part of your advice. Never be followed by any parent ever.
I think your advice should be followed by the police officer behind you currently, but you know.
Like, interesting.
I think I got a call for you. FBI, fucking open up.
I was gonna say, John's FBI investigator's looking at him weird now.
Just gets a text from him. The fuck did you say?
Yeah, what the fuck are you saying on this podcast?
So, I'm not here next week because I've been thrown in jail, you know what happened.
Throw to jail.
Yep. Alright, with that, thank you guys for listening. We hope we provoked a conversation and made you laugh along the way. You can find Ethan on YouTube at FlabSexy Gaming. You can find John on I don't think anything right now because he's moving.
Well, he's still on YouTube.
Oh, well, you can find him on YouTube at Jeebens Feebens. And you can find me on Xbox at NoDog. Or on Instagram at NoDog5434. Along with that, we do have the Patreon as well. episode. We all have our own different tiers with different kinds of behind-the-scenes content and whatnot. You can pledge anywhere from $1 to $100, which if you just do $100, I believe we have to marry you at that point.
Yep.
I think that's the safe one. Along with that, you actually get to be in the episode yourself, and you get to pitch your own idea for the episode, which we may or may not do, depending on what the idea is. Alright, I think that's enough shameless plugging, and we'll see you guys next time.